them a little bit this trip. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. I'm Father Ian. We'll do the formal interview after you do the business.
This is KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Father Ian Dullinger, and I'm playing with food.
We have to count how many lobsters there are now for the fishing game, for our records.
When we think of lobster, we think of Maine lobster with its giant claws, a 2-pound lobster tail next to a 24-ounce steak, or big chunks of lobster meat bursting from the brioche bun of a lobster roll. We don't think of the palm trees and sandy beaches of Santa Barbara, but that's precisely where I stumbled upon a California spiny lobster fisherman bringing in his catch into the harbor after a 3-day stint out in the Channel Islands. Tired of frozen lobster shipped from 3,000 miles away? Then look no further than Santa Barbara Harbor.
My name is Charlie Graham. I'm a commercial lobster and crab fisherman out of Santa Barbara, and the name of my boat is the March Gale.
Charlie and I chatted while he was clearing up after his 3-day haul and sale of his lobster. We were on the March Gale, surrounded by all his equipment, his personal catch of lobster, and his dog, Davey.
Lobster and crab are my main two fisheries.
I started in 1993 crewing for somebody, and then I built some of my own traps in 94 and fished them off of his boat, and then I got my own boat in 95. This is my third boat.
Where do you go to get them?
Channel Islands and up the coast from Santa Barbara. Yeah, lobster season runs from the first Wednesday of October until the first Wednesday after the 15th of March. It's been a good season so far. We are doing a lot better with the price. Last season we were suffering with the China trade war, fishing under some really heavy tariffs. Typically in recent years we've started getting about $18 a pound on opening day. And then by the end of the season, we might get up to like 23, maybe even 25 bucks. A record might be like 26.50 or something at the end of the season. And then last season, under the retaliatory tariffs from China, we only got $11 instead of the 18. So that hurt really badly. And then we got up as high as 13. We hit 15 briefly for like a week or two, and then the coronavirus, China stopped accepting all shipments of lobster, and the price tanked at $8 a pound. We can't even make money at that. We just don't do the volume that we would have to do in order to make money at that kind of price. We need a higher price for this fishery to be viable.
When you came in, you said you had 182 lobster, and you were holding up trophies of a 10-pound, 6-ounce lobster. So that would go, if at $26.50, that would be a $270 lobster?
Right. Yeah, that was 10.6 pounds, that one. We get a few big ones every trip. Sometimes we don't get very many lobsters at all, and sometimes we get a whole bunch. And so this trip, I got a whole bunch. We had a swell last week, and that tends to stir them around whenever we have like big waves or you have some rain, low pressure system comes in. That tends to move them around. And then to the contrary, when we have high pressure, when we get the Santa Ana winds and water gets real clear, and we have that shuts down the fishing. Same with a full moon, because the light from the moon makes the lobsters vulnerable to predation by other things that eat them, like sheephead and cabazon and lingcod and all these fish. Octopus are the big one.
And there are two full moons in October, so...
Yeah, right. It's best to let the traps sit for a couple of days. It's best to not bait them on a full moon. You're kind of asking for it. You get a bunch of lobsters that are missing legs, and I have a couple of them here that I'll take home for my family. You're not going to sell a lobster that's missing a bunch of legs to China for full price. There's another one that's lost its legs to octopus or sheephead, but they're still alive and they're still good to eat. So I save those for my friends and family. The part of the lobster that you eat is mainly the tail. There is some meat in the body, but mostly it's in the tail. But if you like cut this lobster in half and clean it, there is meat up in here. And that's my favorite way to cook them, is actually split them in half and put them either in the broiler or on the barbecue.
Charlie had been out near the Channel Islands for 3 days. What goes on out there?
So the traps go out in the beginning of the season. It takes a week or so to get all your traps out, and then they come home at the end of the season. And in between, you're just moving them around to different locations. Most guys are fishing 200 to 300 traps. If you're really moving fast, you could get through 300 traps in a day. I don't. I mean, I have, but it takes me a couple days to get through my gear. And then this is a small trap. We have another size that's a larger size. This is a 3 feet wide by, or long by 28 inches wide. We chop up mackerel, which is in these white boxes here, put it in a bait cup. It's got holes in it, right? And then put the bait cup in the bait basket, which is here. This rope and buoy would be outside, obviously. Close up the door. By law, we have to have the door has to be hinged with these special clips. They're just raw steel. They can't be aluminum or stainless. They can't have any tar on them or anything. And the idea is that if somebody runs over your trap and you can't find your trap because the buoy's been cut off by a propeller or something. And you, also by law, we have to have a stretch device. So a lot of guys use bungee cord to pull tension this way so that if you lose your trap, these clips are gonna rust out. The tension of the bungee cord is gonna pull the door open so whatever's in there can get out. And this is an escape port. This lets the sub-legal size lobsters out. Even lobsters that are just over legal size can still actually get through that. So these traps are made out of galvanized steel, and then we dip them in tar once a season to help keep them from corroding, and then put a zinc on them.
So your traps are out there, and you said they're out there for the entire season. So your job is to go out, when you go out on a trip, is to simply just check them and empty them?
Yeah, so you pull up to your buoy, put it in the hauler up there, pull up the trap, open up the door, and swap out the bait, get rid of the old bait, put a fresh bait cup in there, measure the lobsters. We have a gauge that tells you whether it's a legal size lobster or not. So our size limit is 3 1/4 inches, and that's measured across the carapace. Those 10 pounders, they would be bigger than two of these across there.
You said you were out for 3 to 5 days. Is that because you have 300 traps out there that you have to check?
Yeah, or you know, maybe you're gonna pull some of them a couple of times. Tomorrow I'll just go for a day trip. And it depends on the weather and how the fishing is, and you know, there's all kinds of factors that determine how long your trip is gonna be.
When you came in, I saw that you had 55-gallon garbage cans full of live lobster, and you were out for 3 days. How long can a lobster live out of water?
No problem, 24 hours if it's cool. Like sometimes a lobster will jump out of the barrel when you're driving back and you don't realize it, and I'll sell my catch and I won't see him on the deck of the boat and come back down here like the following day. He's there on the deck alive still, no problem. It just depends, like if it's a hot day, then not as long, but if it's the weather's cool, they can stay alive quite a bit out of water. But those guys will buy the lobsters from us. They put them in their back of their truck, which has big tanks with salt water filtered, and it's got aeration, adds air.
And they export them. They're not. Yeah. These are not for the domestic market.
That's for both, but mostly these are going to China, but there is some domestic market too. This fishery doesn't compete well with domestic markets historically. The East Coast lobsters are a lot less expensive. They do high volume. They catch so much more than we do that they can survive and make money at a lower price than we can. If we get paid the same amount that they're getting paid, our fishery is not viable. Well, when I first started fishing, I was selling them for $7. Now we're getting $20 today, maybe 23 by the end of the season, 25, who knows, we'll see. Depends what's going on with the world market.
You mentioned East Coast lobster. These lobster look very different than the East Coast lobster. They don't have claws.
Yeah, it's a lost claws. There's no claws on these lobster. This is a spiny lobster. But they're very sought after, and the Chinese really like our spiny lobster, and they're willing to pay for them. We really need that high price to be viable, and we're sort of at the edge of the resource here. Santa Barbara is the furthest northern port that anybody fishes lobster out of. Nobody fishes them north of here because the water gets too cold. We're at the edge of the biology of the species, the Southern California Bight, basically. Point Arguello and Point Conception are the westernmost edge of it, of the fishery. All of California accounts for about 18% of the spiny lobster production. And the remaining 82% historically has come from Baja, Mexico.
Do they taste different?
From East Coast lobster, people say that these ones are a little sweeter. I like them both. I've been back east and eaten those lobsters. I like lobster, this one or that one, and crab too.
You're listening to Issues and Ideas on KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian, talking lobster with Charlie Graham.
When we first got in touch, I said, is it possible that I could go out with you? But you gave me a reason that I can't.
Well, yeah, you have to be a licensed crew member. Otherwise, you can't touch anything, basically. You can't be in the fishing gear. You can't participate in anything. I'm mostly doing three-day trips. There's just enough room for me and my dog, basically.
And where do you actually sleep on this boat?
I have a bunk up there. It's called the V-berth. And that's where Davy sleeps, too. We do good out here, but traditionally I've fished alone. I've used a crew member a little bit in my career, but mostly I like to fish alone. Oh, I ran over somebody's buoy. It happens. Usually you run over your own because those are the ones you're pulling up to most frequently. But yeah, I ran over John's buoy. And then it's like wrapped around your propeller. You can't just like forget about it. You gotta like dive over and cut it out. I saved his trap. I retied the rope and put his buoy back on. But yeah, so that's why I have my wetsuit and my mask and snorkel. It happens a few times a season. It's not the highlight of my day, but it's not a big deal. You know, usually I don't put on a wetsuit, but it was kind of cold today. I suited up, and usually I can do it in one breath hold, but today was a little more complicated. Depends how many wraps you get around the drive shaft.
But you saved the trap.
Yeah, I saved his trap. It's important for people to know that the lobster fishery is a good, healthy, sustainable fishery. Over the years, I've been involved with a number of different collaborative research projects with the California Department of Fish and Wildlife and also the various scientists and researchers out at UCSB. They're all aimed at sustainability. So we've done things like stock assessments and port sampling, and a tag recapture project is where researchers will come out with you. You pull up traps with lobster, both legal and sublegal, shorts we call them, and they put a tag on the lobster. They put it right here behind the carapace. It's a little plastic tag that is retained even when the lobster molts. Then they throw the lobster back with a tag now. So here's a tag. This is tag number 2751. Cal Lobster was the project, Cal Lobster Research. There's a phone number there. It says record tag number and length and the GPS, and then call the number. So over time, that information goes into a database. They know when they caught that lobster and tagged it originally, how big it was, where it was, and they know the date. When somebody calls in that information, now they can go, okay, in this amount of time, that lobster moved from here and it was now caught over here. They also know how much it grew. And if it's a short lobster, that lobster could be thrown back and caught several times. And so that data keeps getting put into the system, and it starts to show migration patterns and growth patterns. And so that's one, the tag recapture project, that was pretty useful. They move a lot, they move miles. It's pretty impressive. Port sampling is, say you're gonna go fish up the coast, and then they say, okay, this section of the coast is gonna go in this barrel. We'll call this like section A. And then that section of the coast will be like section B, and that goes in this other barrel. And then this section C, and so on and so forth. When you come in, they like measure each barrel, and that goes into a database to see, it kind of tells you about size structure of population. This is the fourth season under the fishery management plan now. So we got some trap limits now that every fisherman is allowed to run 300 traps. You can buy a second permit and run up to 600 traps. That permit is not a transferable permit, the second permit.
You're listening to Issues and Ideas on KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian, learning from lobster fisherman Charlie Graham what to do with live lobster. I haven't had lobster in a very long time. The last time I cooked lobster was on the island of Islay, off the west coast of Scotland. This was as good an opportunity as any to get tips on the best way to cook and to stag myself a lobster straight out of the ocean.
What is your favorite way to prepare lobster and to eat lobster?
My favorite way, how I do it the most, is to split them in half. I would start with a sharp knife and a cutting board. And I would start here. Lobsters don't have a brain, they have a ganglia, by the way. And I would first go straight down and then come this way in between their antenna. And then I'd flip them around and continue back down the tail. Once it's in two, you clean out the guts. You don't want to eat the viscera. And then just rinse that under running water in the sink. If they're on the barbecue, you can like put a little olive oil on the grill to keep it from sticking, and then do them like the meat side down first for to sear them for a couple minutes and then turn them over. And now the shell is like the shape of a cup to hold the butter and garlic, anything else you want to put in there. The other way to do it is in a broiler. You can kind of do the same thing with a broiler. If it's a cold night, you don't want to barbecue. You can sear them too in there.
So I have one last question for you, which has two follow-on questions. The primary question is it possible for me to buy a lobster from you?
Yeah, I do have a retail permit, and I can sell you a lobster.
Okay, so two is, how do I get it home, and how long do I have to prepare it?
I'm going to give you a bag to put it in, and how far away do you live?
I live in Slow. I live about 2 hours
away. It'll be fine. By the time you get home, you can cook them when you get home.
Okay, could I cook it tomorrow if I put it in the fridge?
Yeah, you could. I wouldn't wait till maybe tomorrow night, but, you know, you probably could be fine. It slows them down, too. A lot of people don't like to deal with a flapping lobster. If you put them in the fridge, it slows their metabolism down, so they're not going to be as lively because it's so cold. You know, right. They're easier to handle. They do have spikes on them all over, and the spines, I should say. They're spiny lobsters. See these guys?
Yeah.
Oh. Those will poke right through your gloves.
Yeah.
They're all over the antennae. You know, the horns, the tail has them. They've made me bleed numerous times, so you have to be careful handling them. I wear some thick gloves. This is a good way to pick them up by the antenna like that, too. There or here. Even if they flap, if you have a good purchase on them, they won't get away from you. Just gotta squeeze them.
And do I have to use the knife method, or can I use the boil method?
You can just take that whole guy and put him in a pot of boiling water.
Okay.
It's easy.
If you kill a lobster incorrectly, you can kill yourself, right?
You might lose a finger if you have a good sharp knife.
But don't they release like a poison or something?
No. There's something called domoic acid that comes and goes. Right now, it's not really around in the channel. You would have to eat a lot of it. Really, I wouldn't suggest eating the viscera. It's not something I do anyways. Stick to the meat and you're fine.
Okay. I'm not going to like suck the head out.
Yeah, you know, they call that the tamale. That's more of an East Coast lobster thing. I don't care for that stuff. I just clean it out and it goes in the trash or down the sink. The other thing you could do, just put them right in the freezer and then you can store them. You can eat them at a later date if you didn't want to eat them tomorrow.
Okay.
When you get home, put them in the freezer and then pull them out 24 hours before you to thaw before you want to cook them.
It will have died, though, in the freezer, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Might take a little while, but yeah.
I drove the 2 hours home with the unsettling knowledge that there was a live lobster wrapped in nothing but paper in the back of my car. Even though the lobster had no legs, I couldn't help the vision in my head that I would look into the rearview mirror and there would be a giant lobster crawling through the car to attack me. I got home, put him into the freezer, and plotted what I was going to do with him. I truly felt that I was creating my own murder mystery story. I was genuinely surprised to discover fresh lobster on the Central Coast. I was even more surprised that it's really not that difficult to prepare. I barbecued it like Charlie described to me and ate half the tail with drawn butter. I made lobster mac and cheese with the other half of the tail, and I made lobster bisque. It was nice, but not my favorite. Like everyone else, I like the big chunks of meat in the tail, and of course the California spiny lobster doesn't have any claws, so it's just the tail. For me to play with lobster meant Charlie had to do the hard work to make it available to me. I can't just go to the beach, cast a trap, and come home an hour later with a lobster. But on the other hand, to get that fresh lobster, I had to meet him on the dock. Why isn't there easier access?
I used to sell at farmers markets, and I stopped doing it because I'd rather just be out fishing than dealing with, you know, I used to drive to Alhambra down by Pasadena.
Mm-hmm.
I did 3 different markets in Santa Monica. I did 3 different markets in Santa Barbara. It's a tremendous amount of effort and time. If that's all you're doing and you're not trying to be a fisherman too, you know, that's one thing, but I'm going to focus on fishing and have time to see my girlfriend too. You got to prioritize things.
Everyone deserves to spend more time with their loved ones. Thanks for what you do, Charlie. And some of his catch does end up in local farmers markets. It's just not Charlie behind the stand. So get yourself some fresh California spiny lobster and enjoy yet another amazing food from the Central Coast. This is KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian, and I'm playing with food.